The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
It's time to kick off the Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Brittany Dean and her guest here today. Of course, we have a neurologist.
Urologist here today. Just gave me the same mistake.
Okay.
So, good afternoon, everybody. I am so glad to be here again. And we have a very special guest today. We have Dr. Vimal Sitahal, because this month is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. So today we are going to be talking about the men, to the men. So
hey,
of course,
mentally. Hey.
Yes. So of course we want to encourage everybody to send in their questions, call in, send your questions on WhatsApp. And women, if you have any questions as well, yes, we will still answer them. But today it's about the men, right?
All right. Men, don't let us down, eh? 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065. And you can also send your messages to our other frequencies, and they will send your messages right to us. I know yesterday we had one or two questions about the prostate, so let's continue that route.
Right. So we have Dr. Vimal Sitahal here. So you want to say hi to our listeners today?
Hi, everyone. Pleasure to be here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about testicular cancer. And, of course, we'll be talking about other problems relating to men's health as well. But let's just start with testicular cancer. So can you provide a little overview of testicular cancer, including the prevalence, who gets testicular cancer, risk factors, and maybe some of the common symptoms that men will experience?
Sure. So testicular cancer represents about 1% of all cancers. And we expect about 100 to 150 cases in Trinidad and Tobago per year. Mm-hmm. The interesting part about testicular cancer is that it happens in our 20s to our 30s. And mm-hmm. that's when, as men and women, but mostly men, we feel invincible at that age.
Mm-hmm.
So you never actually consider that a cancer can happen or it will happen. Now, the risk factors for testicular cancer are firstly cryptorchidism, and that's just a big word for undescended testicles.
Mm-hmm.
And about 8% of all kids, male kids, have undescended testicles, and it is quite important for your parents to go to their pediatrician or to their pediatric surgeon to be able to see about that.
Mm-hmm.
Other risk factors are a family history of testicular cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If your brother had it, it raises your risk by about 4 times that amount.
Yes.
Yeah. Previous mm-hmm. testicular cancer, obviously, you mm-hmm. can have a 5% chance of developing testicular cancer. The opposite side,
mm-hmm.
exposure to certain chemicals when your mom in the womb.
Yes.
Previously,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No to having trauma to your testicles. So being hit on your testicle does not increase your risk of testicular cancer.
Yes.
HIV does questionably raise the risk, as does HPV, but those risks are very controversial still.
Yes.
Yeah?
So one other risk that I came across in my research mm-hmm. is that men with height
yeah.
actually raises your risk. So is there any research behind or backing or any reason why height would increase that risk?
So what we're fighting is association other than a relative risk.
Yeah.
So it was associated with an increased height. I think
yes.
it was 1.65 mm-hmm. per extra centimeter above 5
mm-hmm.
feet tall. But it was never actually proven that it would increase the risk.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. No problem. So I know a lot of men will be concerned in terms of the symptoms that they may experience, and what would propel a man to visit a urologist or visit his doctor if he suspects testicular cancer?
So the most common reason for presenting with testicular cancer is a lump in your scrotum, a
mm-hmm.
mass in your scrotum, and generally it's a hard mass in your scrotum. It's not soft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, heaviness or dullness, a dull ache, a dull pulling pain on your scrotum. And as men, all of us have this random dull ache off and on. I mean, whoever's a man knows. But that dullness, if it's not going away, or that heaviness, you really do need to see at least a GP or a urologist.
Mm-hmm.
And some men, depending on the type of testicular cancer, will have breast tissue formation and tenderness in breast
mm-hmm.
tissue, gynecomastia we call it, and that's just from the overproduction of hormones associated with testicular cancer. It's not very common, but it has been shown.
Yes. So I know we mentioned before that men in their younger years, 20s to 30s, you know, will or have a higher risk of developing this testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the prognosis? And when I'm speaking about prognosis for the listeners, I mean, what is their chance of being cured? What is their chance of living a normal life?
Mm-hmm. We have a saying in urology, if you had to get a cancer, it's probably testicular cancer because it's very curable. 5-year survival rate is more than 95% generally. It's to the point that even if you have metastatic, that means you have stage 4 testicular cancer, they still divide that into good prognosis, yes, intermediate and poor prognosis. Mm-hmm. So, and this is not Trinidad, this is an international collaboration that has been shown that testicular cancer, even in the metastatic stage 4 phase, has a good prognosis, provided that you're willing to access medical care.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of the presentation, you said that it's just a painful lump, but I know that there are certain conditions that men will also be, you know, afraid of, or they may start feeling a little bit uneasy when they have something going on with their scrotum, with their testes. What are some of these conditions, or we call them benign conditions, right? So what are some of these conditions that people mistake for cancer but are actually benign or can be easily rectified?
So the most common condition that will present with a lump in your testicle that's benign would be an epididymal cyst. And it's actually pretty common, 1% of the population of males. And it's just your epididymis, for, let's simplify it, is the tank that stores our sperm, yes, while it's maturing to come up to our prostate. So the epididymal cyst is just a cyst there that is completely benign, and you do need to just see a urologist or have an ultrasound done. The good part about it is an ultrasound will tell the difference between an epididymal cyst and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Other causes are infections in our epididymis, a hydrocele, which is a collection of fluid in our scrotum itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it fills with functionally the fluid that our abdomen produces.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the listeners will know what a hernia is. A hernia is, as we get older as men, we have trouble to pass urine, and because of that strain, we get our bowel coming down in our scrotum. A hydrocele is just fluid coming down before bowel comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And a varicocele is a collection of veins right around our testicle itself. And that can cause infertility, but doesn't increase our risk of testicular cancer.
Okay, so these are things that, you know, many of the men may be concerned about, but they can be benign. But of course, mm-hmm, like Dr. Sitahal said, if you do experience something in your scrotum or your testes that is not normal to you, it is advisable that you go to your GP or to a urologist.
Mm. Well, I know one of the things that fear men the most is that the actual test for anything to do with the prostate cancer. Some men, mm-hmm, feel the afraid of the you know, the real test,
right,
the finger test, or the blood test. Which one is more, mm-hmm, you know, productive to do?
So new trials have come out that the finger exam is actually quite bad. So
I know a lot of men will be glad to hear that.
Yeah. If we randomize urologists to doing rectal exams, there was a discordance between what I felt and what you would feel if you were a urologist.
Right.
To the same end. To the point that new look just encouragement to do their PSA, the blood test.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we start to screen from your PSA.
Mm-hmm.
Whether PSA, the blood test, is a perfect screening tool, well, that's real controversial and probably a bit over this setting, but to be quite honest, it is what we have in the world, so we just have to try to encourage men to do it.
And what is a good PSA, and what do you do? You know, but like, I know you say stop eating meat. What are some of the things in your diet that you have to change after the PSA?
Right. A good PSA is 4. 4 is the magic number. So anything less than 4 is good. Anything more than 4 is bad. That being said, 2.5 is actually abnormal if you were in Europe and you're looking at the European trials.
Mm.
Yeah. Between 4 to 10 is a nice gray area where we allow to say, look, just do back your PSA and come back to me. 25% of the time it falls back to normal and then there's nothing to do.
Right.
After 10 is where we start to get to the kind of dangerous phase.
Mm-hmm.
The phase where you're still curative, but you probably haven't spread. The chance of spread is very low, but you do need a biopsy and some amount of imaging. Mm-hmm. Now in the world, we do MRIs of your prostate to see if there's anywhere suspicious. And for the guys that we can't afford it to. So even in public system, we do MRIs before. For those PSAs between 4 to 10 and 4 to 20, just so that we're not wasting your time and putting it through a procedure, a biopsy is not a very comfortable thing, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then it comes back as not prostate cancer. So we try to increase our ability to detect prostate cancer.
Right. Now, one of the frightening things about this is it's left up to really the man who will be going through these symptoms to to really deal with it, because sometimes as men, I must admit, we don't really, you know, we don't afraid to go by a doctor anything. I mean, you will see blood in the urine, blood in the stool. You ain't telling anybody anything. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody might have to find out to really get to help you. But what could you advise men to do, like, to make men feel a little bit more secure? Listen, if this is happening to you, please do something.
A big part of it is your wife, and I know it sounds very cliche.
Oh, if you do have a wife.
Yeah, I don't want to say sorry, but you just really just come to your urologist and just tell them, look, I'm having blood in my urine. Or if it's blood needs to go to a gastroenterologist, just go to your GP.
Yeah.
Because quarterly, this is curable. Eh? I don't even mean, and as men, we have a thing, look, our prostate equal our erection, and if I treat my prostate or do something prostate, I will not have erections again. Quarterly, you have very little risk of erectile dysfunction. Is when we get caught late on, the injections to your stomach, the hormonal treatment, will cause erectile dysfunction for that time. And then when you have stage 4 prostate cancer, well, to be quite honest, your prostate cancer already eat away the nerves that cause erections. So you probably should have come before.
Nice.
Yes. So just for the listeners, I just want to differentiate between testicular cancer and prostate cancer, because I know we started with testicular cancer and we did a little jump into prostate, but it is different. So what are the symptoms of prostate cancer that they should be aware of and that they should definitely go to their GP if they start experiencing?
So ideally, I don't want any man to be symptomatic for prostate cancer. If we're symptomatic, we already reach into certain phases that we don't want to be. You want to have your PSA screening. Just go at 40 every single year. You go do your blood test. I actually set up my guys now the week after your birthday. So you go Lyman party, and then the week after your birthday, you come in, you do your PSA, and we see where it falls now. And then we decide on what further tests we have to do. Now, other than that, issues to pass urines, what we call your lower urinary tract symptoms. And the older guys who are listening here know the symptoms. Frequent urination, urgency to pass urine, waking up all times of the night to urine. Anything more than once or twice a night, something is wrong. Then the stream, if you have to force, if the stream is coming out weak, if it comes and stops, if you're dribbling afterwards, and then straining to pass urine. And the last is incomplete emptying. And most guys would have gone through this, but it's when you finish pass urine and then 5 minutes after you have that urge again, look, I just need to pass urine, then you do have prostate problems. But that is localized to our prostate. When we hit to stage 4 disease or metastatic prostate cancer, and this is classic 80s Trinidad, men would present with back pain and bone pain, or a fracture in their leg and it was the prostate cancer eating away their bone, or they had inability to walk. And I still have patients up to this week seeing me for inability to walk from prostate cancer, and it hurts. Because if you had done that PSA 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we would have caught it earlier.
Yes. Right, right, right. Of course, we have the question that we had yesterday of Peyronie's disease, right? Is there any cure? What is it, and is there any cure for it locally?
So Peyronie's disease is curvature of our penis as we get older. It happens in between middle age to older men. Now, Peyronie's disease is related to erectile dysfunction in a way. So it happens generally during intercourse. You have an insult, so you hit the pelvis or you hit somewhere and it didn't break your penis, because you can fracture your penis, not to break off, but you can break your penis. You had a minor insult and your body tried to heal it, but it didn't heal properly. And then you became scarring. There was scarring to that area. And then we have curvature of our penis afterwards. Now, is it curable? Quite yes. Does it take time? Yes. You have to wait 6 weeks from your insult to then have a curative procedure. There are injections we can give during this time to decrease the curvature of your penis, or decrease what you will get to. So we call it an active phase and then a stable phase. During the active phase, we literally have to counsel men, look, just don't do anything. And men know their active phase. Their active phase is when it's painful to have an erection. And once that's over, then it's easily curable, generally. Sometimes it does become complex. But most of the time, it is literally putting some stitches to straighten back the penis.
All right, okay. We have to take a break in a short while. We have another question here. Is the testicular and or prostate cancer hereditary?
Yes, so both of them are hereditary. Prostate cancer, even more than testicular cancer. In Trinidad, we have too much prostate cancer. However, if quarterly, we can just cure them.
So like me, my father died from prostate cancer. Ooh. And I have an uncle who has prostate cancer.
Oh, at 40, you check and every single year, you check and all male relatives. Mm. And prostate cancer is not just prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is associated with breast cancer. It's associated with uterine cancer, ovarian cancer. Mm. So even the females in the family do need to keep an eye on their healthcare as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, you take a break and we come back. Of course, 627-3223-625-2257. Lean into a healthier life with GNC Total Lean, where actual science meets tasty flavors to make your wellness journey full, delicious, and way more convenient. GNC Total is a complete brand of weight management supplements, Total Lean meal replacements, and snacks. Not only can the high-quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they're also great solutions for living an overall healthy lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarkets, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit at GNCTT or visit for more information. GNC, live well. Also, lean into that healthier lifestyle and give yourself the care you deserve. Treat yourself with state-of-the-art medical technology and medical professionals that put your healing first. Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours with the care and healing you need. They are a full-service healthcare provider operating in the Cayman Islands to ensure that the entire Caribbean region can access quality health care. Call Health City now at 720-4019. That's 720-4019. And reach us via email at tt@healthcity.ky. For further details on their services, visit healthcitycaymanislands.com. That's healthcitycaymanislands.com. Health City, leading you to the best in health. We shall return. All right, folks, so we're back here on Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangeet 106.1. Dr. Brittany and her guest, the urologist.
Yes, the urologist.
All right. So, but just for those, the urologist and the neurologist, the difference.
Right. You wanna explain it? Yes.
Yeah, so a neurologist sees about nerves and brain.
And the brain, right. That's the brain.
And the good part of the body.
All right, okay, yeah. You're dealing with the boy, the big kahunas. All right, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, folks.
Yes. Good afternoon.
You know, that's Tyrone's business. Uh-huh. 8 years ago, in 2016, I went to a famous person after treatment. I mean, yes, you can treat it. You give me something, a non-northern cream to rub on the spot, and some just capsules, fish oil capsules. 2 weeks later, I went back. One long, long year, obviously, with almost $700 something dollars. What you said, yeah, that simple thing, you just stitches. And then, I wish I seen you 8 years ago. Mm. I am shocked when it was that easy, because this guy, you're just fleecing me. Can do it, can treat it. I have no solution, and you're just stringing me along. So I'm shocked with that easy, Doc. You just a few stitches. Had I known then, I'd have kicked you out and saved myself a lot of distress.
All right, but you went by a quack.
No, not a quack. Oh, okay. You want us to be real with him. You shouldn't call him a quack.
All right. All right, go to the urologist.
Right, yes, of course. Right. We have a very good...
We didn't mention about diet, anything with the testicular and the prostate in terms of your diet. Is it true that, you know, eating a lot of meat, red meat, men, we got to watch what you eat, especially as they get older?
Yes, so testicular, not really associated with that.
Okay.
But your prostate cancer is associated with that. Genetics play a huge role, don't get me wrong. Mm. But it is multifactorial at that, higher in red meat and decreased in soy. So that's why we think that Asian, so Chinese people, Indian population, has a decreased chance of having prostate cancer over everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we used to portray the black male.
And right,
Caribbean black male was, like, bad as well, because there was an increased risk, or so we thought that there was an increased risk of having prostate cancer. And then when we had prostate cancer in a black male, there was an increased risk of having more aggressive prostate cancer.
Mm.
That was very multifactorial and a bit associated, or more associated, with access to healthcare than anything else.
Mm.
So there is always hesitancy to see a doctor, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And the Caribbean male, be it Indian, black, Chinese, whatever, we just don't like to see the doctor, right? But now, as we've gotten a little more modernized, men have been coming to the doctor, and that has been decreasing a bit. How much it will decrease, literally just time will tell. So yeah. 10 years from now, it may change, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, boy, men, go to the doctor. We're getting some calls in there while you were speaking. They want to cut you. 627-3223-625-2257. And of course, feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and of course, Sangeet 106.1. Men calling there with your questions. All right, let me take this one here from the WhatsApp. Afternoon, the doctors. Here's the thing. No pun intended, but when women go through menopause, their estrogen levels plummet and stop almost completely. However, the decline of testosterone levels in men works differently. So here are my questions. Is low T an inevitable part of aging? He had to ask a lot of questions, so ask them one by one. So low testosterone, is that an inevitable part of aging?
So the answer to that is no, but there is something called the aging meal. So the aging meal is, as it says, we're all getting older. That doesn't mean your testosterone falls per se, but that does mean that your active form of testosterone is a little bit difficult to reach the receptors. And testosterone is a hormone, so it binds receptors to help us do everything as males, from literally sleeping to having erections. So that aging meal, it does affect not our testosterone numbers, but how effective the testosterone is in having us conduct daily life.
Right.
Now, whether it means that testosterone is directly related to our erectile dysfunction and all those things, it's multifactorial, so it'll be difficult for me to answer that on the station. And then people think that the aging male will not have testosterone or will have erectile dysfunction. Quite the opposite. You just kind of need to see a doctor to see the issue that you're having, because erectile dysfunction, which is what we always blame low testosterone on, my testosterone lows, are not feeling libido and not feeling erectile dysfunction. Your testosterone is actually very associated with your mood. So if you are depressed or something is going on with you, your testosterone falls. If your testosterone is low for whatever reason, your mood falls. So by that I mean one hand or clap, you just kind of have to see a doctor, and sometimes just seeing a psychiatrist, eh? And that's a strange thing, yes. But
for
seeing
the male
a psychiatrist,
especially,
seeing
a psychologist or psychiatrist is sort of taboo.
So, everybody, Dax, I think you kind of answered. How is low testosterone diagnosed, and how do you actually treat low testosterone?
Right. So, for low testosterone, diagnosed by two blood tests. One is your testosterone that you do before 10 a.m., and then you wait 2 to 6 weeks. For my guys, I tell them at least 2 weeks, and then we test it back again before 10 a.m. in the morning. Testosterone sampling and testing is very controversial in the world, because you need to go by a proper lab, a lab that would have had the sample refrigerated within an hour of taking it, and also a lab that would have done the testing correctly. So a lot of times, and I don't want to call a lab name on the air, but a lot of times if you come by me, I actually tell you all, no, don't go there. You go to these labs, these accredited labs, to do your testosterone. And then you're diagnosed with low testosterone. Now, low testosterone is not a diagnosis in and of itself. You're diagnosed with low testosterone, but what is the actual cause? And that's where we now branch out to what is causing it. So sometimes it's caused from your brain hormones being low, because your brain hormones, the pituitary, do increase your testosterone. So if you have a little tumor in your brain, it could cause a low testosterone. It could also be caused by issues with your scrotum. Varicoceles can cause low testosterone. Testicular cancer can cause low testosterone. Chemotherapy agents sometimes cause low testosterone. That answer is quite large.
I've heard about things like lack of sleep. What about drinking from a plastic bottle?
Stress.
So we always make a joke and say how men, you know, they only have the testosterone to worry about, but women, we go through all these different stages of our life: puberty, pregnancy, menstruation, all these things that we have to worry about. But women also, and I just want to throw in women a little bit here. Yes, I want to throw in women. Women think that testosterone is bad for them, right? So I want to just ask you on air about how testosterone can help women, and why is it important for our hormones to be balanced?
So females do have testosterone. Testosterone involved with literally every single cellular function that a female has. The issue with testosterone in a female, especially in a female that's premenopausal, is that it will change your entire hormonal balance.
Yes.
So if you have too much testosterone, let's say from a kid, then you will start to have non-female characteristics.
Right, yes.
Chest hair, you will decrease your breast tissue, you will have clitoromegaly, which is a clitoris getting very enlarged. And then you will have an increased libido, don't get me wrong, but you will be a little more aggressive, you'll be more temper tantrums, psychological issues, things like that.
So definitely important for us to balance and maintain that balance. So how are ways that men can keep their testosterone in balance?
Oh, that's that's real hard and real easy. I guess it
was one of the questions. How can I boost testosterone naturally?
Literally diet and exercise. So metabolic syndrome is, and just Google what this metabolic syndrome is, what affects the whole world, is when our gut starts to get big, we get diabetes, high blood pressure, and we put on weight. And because it's because of literally our jobs and lack of activity and, to be quite honest, laziness. So diet and exercise is a great testosterone booster. Also helping your mood, so not being stressed out at work or at home and those kind of things will boost your testosterone. If you're asking those let's not call the brand, but those testosterone supplementation pills that are all natural, no, you're throwing away money, to be quite honest.
Okay, so there are more natural ways that men can boost their testosterone.
Watermelon.
I mean, eating clean rather than buying a tablet from the pharmacy. And it sounds strange, but plenty of my patients who don't want to actually take proper medication will top up on vitamins. And they think that vitamins are actually going to help them. You have a normal diet, vitamins haven't been shown to actually have any health benefit at all, especially with regarding your testosterone.
All right, question here. What's your take on the treatment of prostate cancer? I've heard that there can be surgery or radiation. Which is better?
Okay, so surgery and radiation is our option, for prostate cancer. That's confined to your prostate. There is a small procedure called an orchidectomy for stage 4 prostate cancer, and that's when we remove the inside part of your testicle, castration, right? So, yes, exactly, and he's shaking his head, The injections do the same thing, right? So surgery and radiation and what we call brachytherapy. Brachytherapy is where we put in the seeds inside your prostate, And that's a form of radiation. That's just very local versus external beam, where there's a beam above your head and it goes straight into your prostate.
Is it laser?
It's not laser.
Oh, okay.
But what it does is it sends radiation through your body, but the radiation isn't active until it hits your prostate.
Okay.
And then surgery is where we cut you, or laparoscopically where we put in the ports, or robotically. We don't offer that in Trinidad or the Caribbean as far as I know, and then we take out your prostate. Now which one is better? That's up to the patient, and it sounds very strange. Both of them offer cure, right? This is prostate cancer that is curative or curative intent. Surgery is one operation and we walk away from your prostate cancer generally. Radiation is about 40 to 50 days give or take. And then you may have to get injections, the same hormonal treatment for a year to 3 years, depending on your oncologist and how bad your cancer was. Now, which one is better? I'm going to be quite honest with you. I take out prostates for a living. If I had prostate cancer, I would want the radiation seeds put in me. And I do the radiation seeds as well. I take out prostates and the radiation seeds. The radiation seeds, you come in 8 o'clock in the morning, by 4 o'clock in the evening you're home, you're cured of your prostate cancer.
Let's take a call. All right, hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. B.
And
I want to ask if vegetarianism, not eating meat, will reduce or even stabilize or maintain your risk in terms of having a high TSA, and how again you can men naturally improve their testosterone. Thank you.
Okay, so vegetarianism. So a high PSA isn't a diagnosis. A high PSA is that you have a high PSA. We need to find out why your PSA is high. So you more than likely need a prostate biopsy or at least assessment of your prostate to see if you have prostate cancer. Now, you're asking about survivorship regarding whether you have prostate cancer and whether a vegetarian diet will help you decrease your risk of recurrence of your cancer or your cancer coming back. Well, yes, to a point, because red meat has been shown to increase our risk of forming further cancers. But whether it is that is a vegetarian diet has been shown to be healthier. Well, I would be lying if I told you that, because you do need some amount of protein and you need small metals that are present in meat. So I guess to answer your question fully, I would tell you no, a vegetarian diet is not exactly.
What about alcohol drinking?
Right, so that's a nice question, because a glass of wine has been shown pretty has been shown to be protective against all sorts of cancers, actually, right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Whether it correlates to stronger drinks or even beer, well, no. And no, the study was done on wine. Let's wait later.
Okay. All right. Let me see. There was a question here. Formally on. A pleasant good day, doctors. A 72-year-old with pain in the wrist and in his knees and cramps in the legs and instep. Can you kindly tell us what causes this? Thank you. Listening to you all interesting and gaining experience of the program. Have a lovely afternoon.
Right. So what I would say to this is that a 72-year-old, of course, as we age, we increase the risk of osteoarthritis. If I can diagnose it as osteoarthritis, no, I cannot, because, of course, we need to know your full medical history if you have any other conditions, any autoimmune diseases, etc. So pain in the wrist, pain in the knees, yes, it is associated with the aging process, with osteoarthritis. And yes, there are management for this pain. However, for a proper diagnosis and proper management based on what your diagnosis is, I would suggest that you go see your physician and let them take a full history, let them do an examination. In some cases, they may even check your bone density to see how things are going. So make sure that you are getting proper treatment and proper management by getting yourself checked out immediately. Or if it is something that is very severe, I would definitely say within the next week, yes, please get yourself checked out, because there are management for things like osteoarthritis, and these are degenerative diseases, but you don't want it to get to a point where you are getting exacerbating pain or you can't even perform your daily tasks.
All right, let's get another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I do have a test, right, a blood test, but the catarrhine, you know what they call it, right? From me for two days, and I did a test. My doctor said it's kind of high, the catarrhine, right? But I've got a urine test also to check the protein in the urine. That is good. But I have to go and do visit a kidney specialist. Do I have to take a PSA? What do PSA have to do in connection with the kidney test?
So, plenty and nothing at the same time.
That's not fair, please.
Yeah. So, your PSA is regarding your prostate and whether that has prostate cancer or not. Sometimes prostate cancer can stop us from being able to pass urine. And then if we can't pass urine and we wait long enough, it will back up to our kidneys and our creatinine goes up. So then you need a catheter and you will come out of your kidney failure, because you are in acute kidney failure from the inability to pass urine. And then your doctor may do a PSA. Your creatinine is, to simplify it, is a global assessment of how your kidneys are working. If your creatinine is high and high enough that you need to see a doctor, then it's probably a nephrologist who will be working out what caused your kidney failure, whether it's diabetes, high blood pressure, or another cause. And sometimes you have to get biopsy of your kidney. That's where we take out 2 to 4 pieces of your kidney and send it to a lab to check what caused it, so that we could keep you out of dialysis.
There was a question and a survey I saw. Let me see if I could best explain this. Is there any truth to men pleasuring themselves can help prevent the prostate cancer?
No, that hasn't actually been proven, that men pleasuring themselves will help. Regular ejaculation, though, is healthy. It has been shown to decrease the risk of prostatitis, which will decrease the dull ache that we get sometimes between our bladder. Men will know it as the space right between their rectum or the anus and the scrotum. Sometimes you will get ache there, and that can help.
I just want to touch on something. So what if we have a male who's 65 but he has back pain? How serious is that, and what should they do at that point?
Right. So, I'm not trying to scare you all, but prostate cancer is more of a chronic disease, even at stage 4, right? So, a PSA, and I see generally a PSA more than 100 means you've probably spread to your back. the risk is that you invade your spine or you have a fracture of those back bones. Yes. That will then compress your spine and you won't be able to walk again. Mm-hmm. So that backache, if your PSA is high, is worrisome.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You need urgent things. You need an urgent MRI, an urgent PSA, a biopsy. And then we start treatment literally before we even get the result. Mm-hmm. Because then we don't want that you end up with issues.
Mm-hmm. You,
at least our in Trinidad, you do need a tissue sample. So I need a piece of tissue sent to the lab that says, look, I have prostate cancer, before you can have radiation to your spine and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But those things, we can...
Hold on, caller.
We can take you out of the risk of not being able to walk again, provided that you go to a doctor quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back pain is... So that doesn't... Not everyone with back pain who's a 65-year-old male has prostate cancer, don't get me wrong, but you really should just check your doctor as to the cause of back pain.
Yes.
Right. I'll just take this call. Hello. Good, thanks for holding.
Hi, good afternoon. Very important program. You know, I think it's yesterday I heard you all talk about just becoming a male doctor.
Yes.
Male cancer and prostate. Yeah. I did a couple PSA tests. My prostate is within four. Mm-hmm. Four.
Yeah.
My general practitioner told me, which is not bad, but yet not good, but you have to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
I am on this expensive...
Deodat.
There's a cheaper one to the market now.
Deodat.
No.
Avodat. Well, yeah. So Deodat is Avodat with Flomax in it.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But there is one that comes from India, which is much cheaper than the original brand name.
Yeah, that's either Deodat, but I have a few on the market now. Yeah.
Okay. How long could I continue that tablet? Because once a year I do a PSA test.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past 3 years, it stands on four. It did not go up, it did not go down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But to be honest, right now I'm fasting for Ramadan, right?
Yeah.
And in the morning time, yes, I do take my tablet only in the morning time. I would eat something in the morning time. But I would drink like 3/4 of a 1.5 liter of water in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I would pass urine about 5 times before I reach to work. I walk on the east-west corridor from Rio Claro.
Uh-huh.
And after that, during the night time, if I drink water during the night time, I don't go off that much.
Okay.
So I don't pass water that much in the night.
Okay. So you need to see a urologist. You have lower urinary tract symptoms as the needing to pass urine quite so often. Also, you are taking Avodat. That's the expensive tablet we spoke about, right? Whether it's Avodat, whether it's Deodat, and I'm sure most of the listeners who are older men may be on this tablet. That tablet is for BPH. That's the benign growth of our prostate as we get older as men. That tablet does not treat prostate cancer. That tablet actually cuts our PSA. Right. Hear me out. That tablet, after you take it for 6 months, and I presume you've been on it for 6 months already, whatever your result is, multiplied by 2, and that's your correct result, or what we call your corrected result. So your PSA is generally about 8, which is suspicious. You should see a urologist.
But do you have a private office, or you work in the hospital? How do you do it?
Right. So we will give Dr. Sitahal's private office after.
Mm-hmm.
Listen till the end of the program.
Right, we have another call. All right, that person dropped off the line. Yes, 627-3223-625-2257. Men, we're getting our time today, so take advantage of it. 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon. Hello? Hello? All right, we missed that one there. 627-3223-625-2257. All right, so y'all could go ahead and... Oh, this one is coming. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes.
I am 78 years old, going on 79.
Mm-hmm.
I have this burning tingling on the sole of both feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do about it. I see something on foreign cable. They call this, I can't even pronounce the name. But they have something that I don't think that have anything could do about that.
Okay. So what I would say about this is that, yes, there are many different causes for this tingling sensation, and one of this could be diabetes, which can cause tingling.
No, I'm not diabetic.
You're not diabetic. When was the last time you checked your HbA1c or any blood glucose test?
Would you believe it was 85? I checked it without fasting, 85.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right. Okay, that's very good. So it can be multifactorial. There are many different causes for nerve pains or even tingling sensations, but more than likely it is affecting the nerves at the sole of your feet. What I would suggest is that you do visit your general practitioner. Let them assess you fully. Let them do a full neurological exam on you just to ensure that it's just the soles of your feet and nowhere else on your body you are experiencing this type of neuropathy. There are medications that can be used to treat this. There are many different things, and physiotherapy can be used one of those management treats that can be used to treat neuropathy. So I would definitely suggest that you go to your physician, let them do a full history and examination on you, order any tests that they need to order in order to properly assess you, and let them manage you appropriately for what you're experiencing.
All right, thank you. We take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, Mr. B. I want to ask you, your doctor, urologist, with a PSA result of 2 and you're on Flomax, do you have to be on Flomax forever, or can you space it out? So, or you advise that you have to be on that all the time?
So this real common, we're mixing up. And just remember this, guys, we have two problems happening in our prostate as we get older as male. The first problem is BPH. That's a benign growth of our prostate. And that's why you're on the Flomax. Flomax relaxes the muscles, the smooth muscle in our prostate, in our bladder neck, to help us pee easier. So that's why you're taking the Flomax. The PSA of 2 is your prostate cancer risk. So remember, BPH is 1, and that's why we're on Flomax. And then we have prostate cancer. So you always check your PSA every year. Now, regarding the Flomax, yes, you will take Flomax. At some point, your prostate may grow enough that you outstrip the ability for Flomax alone to be able to work. And that's when we put you guys on Avodart and Flomax. So do that. That's a combined tablet, or separately, it's cheaper, combined. And you take that for a course of time. Men whose prostates have outstripped that, or who just want surgery, because some men don't like the risk of DURAT causing erectile dysfunction, then they just go straight to surgery.
All right, just allow me to take a short break there. Just read these messages. Hey, give yourself the care you deserve. Treatment with state-of-the-art medical technology and medical professionals that put your healing first. Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours with the care of healing you need. They're a full-service healthcare provider operating in the Cayman Islands to ensure that the entire Caribbean region can access quality healthcare. Give them a call, of course, if you're outside of the country, 868-720-4019. That's 720-4019. And reach them via email at tt@healthcity.ky. That's healthcitycaymanislands.com. Health City, leading you to the best of health. Also, lean into a healthier life with GNC Total Lean, where actual science meets tasty flavors to make your wellness journey fun, delicious, and more convenient. GNC Total Lean is a complete brand of weight management supplements, Total Lean meal replacements, and snacks. Not only can the high-quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they're also a great solution for living an overall healthier lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarkets, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit at GNCTT on Instagram, and for more information, GNC, live well. All right, we're back with the Lunchtime Doctor today. Of course, we're talking, you know, I mean, about men's health, prostate, and of course, testicular cancer today. We just have about 5 more minutes, 627-3223, 625-2257 for any of your quick questions. We'll be turning back over to Dr. Dean and her guest.
Yes, so we are talking, well, we'll just go back a little bit about testicular cancer, because the young men too have to be a little bit concerned about that. So how is it usually diagnosed, and what should they expect when they come into a consultation with you? And I'm not even just talking about testicular cancer, I'm just talking about any type of urological condition. So what should they expect when they come into a consultation?
Okay, so firstly, as with any doctor, we'll start to ask a history. So how long the symptoms presented, what were the problems, aggravating and relieving factors, and that sort of thing. Specifically to testicular cancer, you will feel a hard mass in your testicle, but also lymph nodes, and it does spread to lymph nodes in time. So it doesn't spread to our inguinal lymph nodes, mm-hmm. as the lymph nodes by a groin. Generally, it won't spread there until it's very late on in the disease.
Mm-hmm.
It spreads to literally by a kidney,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it spreads upward into our chest and then the nodes by our neck.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it is that you have a node in your neck. And I actually had a patient about 3 months ago presented with nodes in his neck and ended up with testicular cancer being a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And he went in a circular way. He had a biopsy of his chest before they found testicular cancer. Yeah, so it was pretty hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And do we have a call? Let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, with a fasting sugar test of 120, how you grade or analyze that? Thank you.
Mm. Fasting sugar test of 120.
So if you have a fasting blood glucose of 120, I would suggest that you go to your physician and do an HbA1c, do a full diabetes workup, because that is a bit high. Especially if it's fasting, it's usually between 80 to 100 that we accept as normal. But fasting, we don't want to go past that because then we get into a little bit of problems. So definitely you need to get your HbA1c checked out, do a full glucose or diabetic panel, and let them diagnose you appropriately so that you can get the appropriate management.
Another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, hello. This is the same guy who called concerning the prostate and the kidney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're saying, right, that the prostate, now I am passing urine normal and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But so what you're saying, I have to go to a neurologist. I have an appointment by the neurologist, as you say. But, they will have to take a biopsy from the arm.
No. Hold on.
Kidney?
Hold on. You need to see a nephrologist. I was saying what they may do. Go and see a nephrologist if your creatinine is high, and they will be able to tell you what the cause is generally. And if they need to find out the cause, they can do a biopsy of your kidney.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. Thank you. What about men wearing tight pants and probably the radiations from the phone?
The radiation, the phone, not really proven.
Mm.
The tight pants, or rather increasing the temperature in our scrotum, has been shown to decrease your sperm function a bit.
Mm.
How much that could correlate? Well, I would tell you all, don't wear very tight pants, and wear pants that could breathe so that the temperature there is as low as it can be.
Wear pants that could breathe. I eat about 7 p.m. Sugar in the morning is 104. Is that good? Eat about 7 p.m. and the sugar in the morning.
Yes, that is within range, mm-hmm. so that is considered well. So if you do have any concerns, if your sugar is over 126 when you check it, definitely I would suggest that you go and see your physician. So 106 is fine.
Mm, yeah, mm-hmm. 104, good.
Oh, 104.
Yeah, fine. So we have about 30 seconds, so we're getting ready to wrap it up for today.
Right.
And men, I'm happy that you called in. You didn't disappoint. You see, the men were happy. More men.
Yes, we'll have another episode. Don't mm-hmm. worry.
Yeah,
so I want to thank Dr. Vimal Sitahal for being here today and for enlightening us and enlightening the men. You know, everybody had their questions and you answered them so well. So thank you very much. And of course, if you want to see Dr. Sitahal, he is a urologist at St. Augustine Private Medical or Valley. So yes, you know, make your appointments, do your PSAs, and live a healthy life. Men, it is important.
Thank you very much. Of course, folks, you've been listening to a special edition of the Lunchtime Doctor. Catch us again tomorrow. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sankey 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Please do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.